Israel's Prime Minister Ariel Sharon meets with President Bush at the White House next week to discuss the roadmap, the most detailed plan for peace to emerge since the outbreak of violence nearly 3 years ago. It draws on many of the same elements that drove the Oslo peace process in the 1990s. There are some new ideas, and it's fashioned to avoid some of the pitfalls, NPR's Mike Schuster reports.
The roadmap was written by the United States, the European Union, the United Nations, and Russia, the so-called Quartet for Middle East Peace. It was finished late last year, but the Bush administration did not want to focus on it until the war with Iraq was over, and so it was not made public until a couple of weeks ago. It declares as the ultimate goal a final and comprehensive settlement of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict by 2005 through the establishment of a democratic Palestinian state which has abandoned its war against Israel. The roadmap proposes to reach this goal in three phases. Phase one envisions numerous reciprocal and parallel steps between the two sides, says former National Security Council expert Robert Malley.
What's in there is really all the things that over the last 2 years or more people have thought would be required to put an end to this phase, this violent and particularly tragic phase of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, behind us.
The first phase of the roadmap makes considerable initial demands on the Palestinians. They must stop attacks of all kinds on Israelis. They must stop incitement to violence. They must refashion their own political institutions to be more democratic. And they must choose new leaders. The origins of these obligations, like much of the roadmap, is contained in a speech President Bush gave in June of 2002, in which he pledged U.S. support for the establishment of a Palestinian state.
Peace requires a new and different Palestinian leadership so that a Palestinian state can be born. I call on the Palestinian people to elect new leaders, leaders not compromised by terror.
Those elections have not yet taken place, but the Palestinian Authority has a new prime minister, Abu Mazen, who is expected to meet Israel's Prime Minister Ariel Sharon for the first time tomorrow. Phase one requires Israel to take significant steps as well, including a military pullback to positions it held before violence broke out in 2000, the normalization of Palestinian civilian life in the West Bank and Gaza, the freezing of Jewish settlement growth, and the removal of many settler outposts in the West Bank established over the past few years. President Bush called for these steps as well in his speech last June.
As we make progress towards security, Israel forces need to withdraw fully to positions they held prior to September 28, 2000. And consistent with the recommendations of the Mitchell Committee, Israeli settlement activity in the occupied territories must stop.
Phase one, then, is meant to recreate conditions that underpinned the peace process in the late 1990s, says Robert Malley.
It's going back to the position that existed pre-September 2000, but adding to it some elements that have been identified as having been extremely noxious to the process throughout the Oslo years. And I think that's why, again, it's an extremely ambitious plan.
Phase two is an entirely new element, perhaps the single most innovative idea in the roadmap, according to Martin Indyk, former U.S. ambassador to Israel and an assistant secretary of state during the Clinton administration.
A Palestinian state would be created with provisional borders. That is a far departure from Oslo, which did not define the end state of a Palestinian state.
Phase two is controversial. The Palestinians have worried openly that provisional borders would harden into permanent ones, a fear that University of Maryland professor Shibli Talhami says is realistic.
If we're talking about a Palestinian state declared on a much smaller territory than is viable, with the idea that down the road you're going to have then a negotiation of the actual borders, then you're going to pay the political price of establishing a state without really satisfying the minimal aspirations for either side, frankly.
Phase three, to be completed in 2005, focuses on all the big unresolved issues: final borders, security arrangements, the status of Jerusalem, and the fate of millions of Palestinian refugees. There is one more new idea of note. The roadmap calls for the creation of a monitoring group involving the U.S. and the other members of the quartet, says Martin Indyk.
Part of the problem with the Oslo process was that there was no mechanism for holding both sides to account when they did not fulfill their commitments, and the process broke down accordingly. There was a sense that the Palestinians weren't getting the territory they expected, and the Israelis weren't getting the security that they expected.
This time around, the monitoring group would make its own judgments about who was holding up progress to ensure that this peace process would have a better chance of being implemented at each step of the way. Mike Schuster, NPR News, Los Angeles.